Morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. And it came about soon afterwards that he began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary, who was also called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. And when a great multitude were coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seeds, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he had said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears, let him hear." And his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in the honest, good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known come to light. Therefore take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." Excuse me. But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and do it." Now it came about on one of those days that he and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended upon the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" And they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he had come out onto the land, he was met by a certain man from the city who was possessed with demons, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time, and was not living in a house but in the tombs. And seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had been commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would burst his fetters and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they were entreating him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons entreated him to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out from the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported into the city out in the country. And the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. And those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to depart from them, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demon had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And as Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to entreat him to come to his house. For he had only one daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes were pressing against him, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing upon you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she shall be made well." And when he had come to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died but is asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she rose immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Amen. Man, I'm done. That was so amazing to read. Just a few points to draw from. I thought it was quite interesting in verses 3, the idea of contributing towards a ministry. Prior to coming to Solomon's Porch, as a teenager or as a college student with my previous church, if you ever wanted to engage in missions, it was mandatory that you had to write a support letter. And in it would be the purpose, kind of your calling, what God has called you to, and then the request would be to support you during your ministry and mission trip. So that would be one, obviously, prayer support to cover you for protection and God's provision emotionally, spiritually, physically. And then two would be financially. But I've noticed here, and I don't think it's an SP thing. I think it's partly because we all have jobs or whatnot, as opposed to a college student or a high school student. But I've noticed that a lot of times we here at church, we can kind of sign up for a mission trip, and if it's last minute or whatnot, we kind of just sign on and we just kind of pay our own way. But it's interesting to note here that, for whatever it's worth, that Jesus, not short on provisions, not short on material wealth had he needed it, yet he had people taking care of the accounting. He had people taking care of the financing. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza Herod Steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their own private means. We know that Judas took care of the finances. So there was a need for people to contribute. There was a need for people to handle the money. And though Jesus could have easily taken care of his own means, if you think about it, he's allowing people to participate in the ministry. He's empowering people who otherwise, may be on the fringes or may not have much to contribute. He's empowering them to allow them to contribute to a ministry, his ministry, and what God has called them to do. And so in a similar way, when we go on missions, right, it's not just the idea, I have some time and I have some money and I'm going to go out and do a good deed. But actually, we're allowing people, maybe, people not even in our church, maybe family members, to contribute and participate. Almost in a sense, take ownership with you. That's why when we say, when we go on missions trips, and we pray for the teams, they're going out as an extension, as members, as an extension of our body, and we're going with them in prayer and support. Amen? So I thought that was quite interesting. In other ways, Jesus was operating in faith, you could say, right? You could say that Jesus was operating in faith and not in personal provision, in the fact that, are these people going to be able to contribute enough? Are we going to have enough means to travel to this district, have enough food or whatnot? And again, I thought that was really neat. And the key point is that it impacts and it empowers others, around to take ownership and to participate in the ministry. The second thing I wanted to draw from, and I thought this was a kind of a revelation for myself. As you guys know, Dr. Kraft is going to be coming in just a few weeks. And I actually took a class with him in seminary, Power Encounter. And, you know, I'm not proud of this, but I'm just sharing honestly with you guys. You know, I came from a very conservative church. And so I came into the class, and I remember the first lecture, and he was giving a sample, you know, of how inner healing or power encounter was going. And this whole time I was thinking, why is this guy talking to demons? Right? Like, in my mind as a Christian, I was like, you know, I would, you know, I don't know anything, you know, at that time, I didn't know anything about spirituality or power encounter and whatnot. But in my mind, I kind of drew back to the fact that I would rather pray 2 hours on my knees than spend 1 second talking to a demon. And here, Dr. Kraft is talking, you know, like kind of, you know, reaching out, not reaching out, but speaking into a person and kind of calling out and praying against. And so, just to be honest, I kind of wrote that off. And I can't say that I recall too much else from that class. It was, I don't know how many weeks. But my point is, a lot of times we based on a false perception, we make a judgment, and then it kind of directs our thoughts. So based on a false perception of what I understood, you know, spirituality or whatnot to be, you know, for however many years I blocked out this whole, you know, spiritual aspect of praying against demons or whatnot, inner healing, power encounter. And here I read this passage, and it's so clear. If someone had just, I mean, I'm sure this was in the book somewhere that I did kind of read. But in verse 30, and Jesus asks him, "What is your name?" Right? He engages. Jesus engages. Jesus dialogues with the devil or with demons. And to the point where they're entreating. Like, it's to a point where, like, they're pleading. And so that right away kind of erased my false perception that we shouldn't be engaging or interacting. And that, you know, for me personally, there was a time where, based on that judgment alone, I kind of blocked that whole part out and probably, you know, lost out on a lot of growth and inner healing or whatnot. So my point is, you know, as Dr. Kraft is coming, there may be some of you guys sitting here thinking, well, that's not for me. I'm just going to focus on the being humble. I'm just going to focus on fasting and prayer. But that's a valuable tool to be accessed for us to engage in and to be informed in. And so I just challenge you, you know, if you're having any doubts, you know, participate. It's going to be great. How many of you guys have actually signed up for the Kraft Inner Healing Sessions? Right? That's not enough, man. All of you guys, well, all of you guys can't. Anyways, another talk. My last point, and I'll close here. In verse 45 and 46, and I've read this many times, and I know it's been said many times, you could say in some ways that every time someone came, you know, Jesus healed this person. You know, he would lay hands, or, you know, obviously when someone's dead, they don't have the capacity for faith or whatnot. The parents didn't even have the capacity for faith, but Jesus, you know, through his grace and mercy and power, kind of healed. And we've heard the term so many times, you know, your faith has healed you. But in this particular case with the woman, with the bleeding, the hemorrhaging woman, so much clearer than in any of the other cases, because Jesus not knowingly engaged this woman. This woman came kind of secretly through the back door. And in no other case that I can recall, you know, do these words ring true, that her faith healed her. I don't want to go as far as saying Jesus didn't heal her. Obviously, the power, you know, came through Jesus, but it wasn't Jesus who engaged. It wasn't Jesus who initiated. It was her faith, literally, that healed her, to the point where Jesus, you know, comes and says, "Who is it, the one that touched me?" And so it's kind of interesting, you know, if I had more time to kind of break it down, but the parameters of power, right, the parameters of how power is accessed and how it works, and how a woman, in her faith alone, can come to Jesus and be healed. So I thought that was really interesting. So let's bow our heads this morning. Oh, and just to close the thought, You know, if you notice in the passages that you read, Jesus never marvels at his healing ability, right? After someone's healed, he never says, wow, man, that person was blind and now he can see. He never says, wow, this person was dead and now he or she is alive. He never, it was never even an inkling of amazement to him, the healing that took effect. But what he was always amazed with was faith, right? Isn't that pretty neat? Right? It wasn't the depth or the level by which a person came from, you know, whatever status, but it was always the faith in that individual that amazed him, right? Think of all the, you know, amazing things he did, yet he never focused on the wildness. You know, if we were there, like, oh my gosh, right? This person was dead just a second ago. But he's always amazed at what's going on in the heart. Always amazed at, you know, a person who, you know, just maybe an hour before saw no hope or ability, and then came into God's or Jesus' presence, and all of a sudden, faith kind of festers up and it grows and you know, gets him to the point to call out and to ask and to request. So let's bow our heads. And our first prayer point this morning, you know, just do a faith check. You know, where is your faith? You know, assess it this morning. You know, where is your faith in fasting? You know, it may be taking us, you know, some of us a few days, maybe even a week to really kind of hit that high gear and, oh, this is why I'm fasting. And then that's okay. You know, I have been fasting, you know, like Pastor Nate had said yesterday, kind of like, you know, in the mode of the church. I'm signing on. But this morning, I found why I'm fasting. And man, I have to tell you, my faith increased 100-fold. And I have faith for something that I have not yet, that I expect and have anticipation for at the end of these 21 days. So that's my prayer for you. You know, where is your faith? So just come and let's just seek before the Lord. And Lord, give me faith for something that I don't have today. Second, let's pray our second prayer point. Let's pray for our missions ministries. We have a missions board meeting coming up in a couple Sundays. I've also been given the role to actually compile a missions manual. If you could just pray grace and mercy over that, diligence more than anything. But let's just pray over China. Pray over the Chongs in Dalian. Pray over Chichihar, the four orphans and the caretakers that we're sponsoring out there. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and Matt's parents in Qingdao area. Okay, just pray for provision and resources. Let's just pray for those ministries in China. Let's also pray for Uzbekistan, Papa Song, that God would just continue to break his heart and direct him in humility, and that he would just really receive from the Lord and walk confidently and powerfully in it. Let's pray for our YWAMers here in Hong Kong, Fabi, our leaders, Godwin, and Santi Ministries. Let's pray for, am I missing anyone? A couple other missionaries. Let's cover our missionaries. Let's just bring covering and prayer over them. For Cambodia and Pastor Bob and the ministries. And we have a handful of mission trips we're going to go to this summer. Indonesia, actually, we're going on a vision trip in a few weeks. So we'll have a trip to Indonesia in the summer and Cambodia again and Fujian. So let's just pray covering over those. Third, let's pray for our church. Just church fund and building fund and church committee, building search committee. And for Janice and the team, they met yesterday. They looked very productive. So just pray continual prayer over them, covering, that God would just lead them in the Spirit. And man, there would be no second guessing, that in unison, in one voice, one Spirit, one heart, that this church would be led literally by humble brothers and sisters seeking the Lord. And, you know, we don't mind adversity. We don't mind, you know, barriers and whatnot. But that we would have the faith to overcome these things in these events. So let's just pray for our building, our funds, and all the resources and faith in God. For our first member focus prayer, we're going to worship at the very end. Let's pray for. I would like. That's a good way to start a prayer, huh? Okay, let's pray for Paul Lee. Bless him and cover him. Our next member focus. Let's pray for Joyce Ma, recovering over her. Pray for our third member focus. Let's pray for Marcia. Let's just pray covering over her and her family and her mom. Pastor Nate will lead us in a song, and then we'll close.
The one who gave it all. surrendered. All I am is yours.
Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. God, for a hope renewed. God, what is impossible with you? Nothing is impossible. Lord, you gave a young girl so loved by her dad who had thought you were coming on the way and then ran out of time. Lord, you restored his heart back to him in giving back her daughter. Lord, what is impossible with you? God, the year of the impossible is not over, is not past. It wasn't just 2009. God, every day you make the impossible possible. God, and we have the faith in us. If we would just dig in, Lord God, and believe, God, you've given us the full capacity and ability to faith, to believe on you. And so, Lord, as we walk out here this morning, as we spend our time with you here in this hour, God, increase our faith, God. Let it just rise up within us, God, to go out and face the things that you've called us to equip us and empower us to the people and the situations and circumstances that we face today. And God, we give you praise and thanksgiving in faith in advance for the things that you will do in us today. We bless your name, God. We worship you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys today. Have a wonderful time of prayer.